Madagay, Gimbay, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi Country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi, and welcome to King's Kids, where Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison shares his unique perspective on life. Last week, Tony shared on the subject of salvation, and he wants to give another perspective on this.
Today I want to continue on a little bit from last week. I want to talk about God's grace, and what do we understand about God's grace? What do I understand about it? I'm not going to give you a theologian version of grace. I'm just going to talk to you as I felt that I experienced God's grace when I first got saved. And I said last week, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. Nobody's too bad for God. Nobody is too bad. And I mean that with all my heart. No matter what you've done, God's grace is sufficient for you. And I know a lot when I'm praying, and I'm praying for something, and I hear the Holy Spirit whisper to me, Tony, my grace is sufficient for you. And sometimes I plead with God for healing, or I plead with God for something. And many times I hear in the middle of the night, and I hear that little soft voice speaking to my spirit, saying, Tony, my grace is sufficient. And I've been thinking about that over the last week, because God's been putting it on my heart about His grace. And I know that God has given us perfect grace. But the thing is, not everybody recognizes it. And not everybody receives it. You all know my past. I'm an open book. There's nothing about this old black fella that nobody hasn't heard before. And I'm sure if you haven't heard it before, somebody will tell you about it. Because people never let you forget your past. And you know, and it's often brought up. And people say it to you all the time, no matter how many good things I do, people will always remember your past, and they'll only say it sometimes when they're drunk, stoned, and they just come out and say things to you. And they can be very hurtful, especially if they come from Christians. And family are the ones that do it the most. But you see, I want to talk about the day that I was, I said before, the day I got saved. Because it doesn't matter who you are and what you're running from or how you lived your life. It's so simple. When you're walking with the devil and you're not walking with God, no matter what direction you're walking away from God, the moment you stop and stand still and turn around and come back the other way, you're walking towards God. Because when you start to walk towards God, I see a father with his arms outstretched, and he's waiting for you to come home, a child of his to come home to him. Sometimes grace is given out in small portions or given out in big portions. It just depends on the receiver, how they perceive that God has given them their grace. And I really think about this, and I thought about it all week, the day I got saved. And I know you've heard it all before, but I just want to recap just a little bit here and there and just show you how good God's grace was for this old black fella before I got saved. And it was only God's grace that I didn't die and go to hell in my sin, because I was so far from God it wasn't funny. And it doesn't matter the day whether you are bad like I was. You might be an accountant or a doctor and you think you're okay with God. But unless you've received salvation, then there's no choice. If you died today, you're going to go to hell. But if you realize that you need to make changes in your life, then God's grace is more than enough, is more than sufficient. Because what I want to tell you is this. I mean, I was bad. I was into robbing banks. I was into prostitution. I was into witchcraft earlier on. And I was into all sorts of things. The day that I got saved, I can't begin to imagine to tell you. After that shootout with the police, after jumping out of a car at high speed, well, 60, 70 k's an hour is pretty high speed to be jumping out of a car. But I got hurt and I hid from the police. I finally made it to the river. And I was in the river and I was like a cornered rat. I was a half-drowned rat, to be honest with you. And just when I least expected it, when there was nowhere else to turn, Jesus turned up himself and stood in the water in the bulrushes. And I remember going in that water, so anxious, scared, worrying whether the police were going to shoot me, worrying whether I'd get out of there alive. I was injured, I was hurt, and I had all the world's worries upon my shoulder. And you know what? I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't defend myself against the police. I didn't have my gun when I went into the water. I couldn't do anything. I was at the mercy of the elements. I was at the mercy of the police who were searching for me. But you see, God's grace was sufficient because God put in a plan long before I was even born. God put in this plan that I would get saved in the bulrushes back in 1982. God knew that I would get to a point in my life where I'd accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I can't imagine how anybody else feels when they first get saved, but I know how I felt. I went into that river so full of hurt and worries and anxiety and everything else with the weight of the world on my shoulders. And when Jesus turned up and he touched me, I knew I was on holy ground. I knew the moment that he reached out and touched me that all things have died and passed away. All things from my past were no longer alive in me. They were dead. Because Jesus says, when he comes in and we invite him in, all things from the past is dead and passed away. We become a new creation. And I often thought about becoming a new creation. And I know, and I know, and I know, and I know that I know that very moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in the bulrushes, that I experienced God's grace for the very first time in my life.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I don't doubt that I had God's grace on my life many, many times. But even just that day that I got saved, the Lord showed me the next day in a vision that I should have died and went to hell 3 times in my sin. 3 times during the high-speed car chase with the police, during the shootout in the main street, during the running in the police cars with my getaway car and stuff like that. Each time I should have died and went to hell in my sin. But God's grace. You know, God's grace, we can't buy it. We can't sell it. We can't put a lay-by on it. We can't put a down payment on it. It's something that's available to all humanity. Whether we're Christians, whether we're Muslims, whether we're Hindu, whether we're Buddhist, whether we're Mormon, whether we're Catholic, whether we're Presbyterian, whether we're Pentecostal, whether we're AOG, whether we don't even know God, even if we're atheist, God's grace is for everybody. But a lot of people don't recognize God's grace and they don't receive it. But whether we receive it or not, it's there for us to take. And sometimes even if we don't take it, God's grace is more than sufficient. And what I mean by that is that day when I should have died, I didn't know that I was going to receive grace. I didn't even understand what grace was all about. When we was kids, we used to have prayer around the dinner table, and Mum would say grace, and me being the smarty, I'd say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for grace, Charlo, and the rest of the kids." That was one of our cousins. Her name was Gracie Binge, and her husband was Charles Binge. And me and the smarty, I used to get a clip across the ear hole from Dad, because I'd say, "My turn to say grace. Thank you, Lord, for grace, Charles, and the rest of the kids." And I'd always get in the trouble. But I kept doing it because that's our sinful nature. And with our sinful nature, even though we receive God's grace, and it's God's grace, there's no other way to explain it. Sometimes we keep doing the things, our sinful nature takes over. Our sinful nature takes over all the time. And it's by God's grace that we stay born again. God says, all men have fallen short of the glory of God. All men have sinned. This old black fella's no different to you people out there that aren't saved. I do sin. But it's by God's grace. It's God's grace that keeps me in the kingdom. Because I recognize that I am a sinner. And I always ask God to forgive me when I sin. Because the Holy Spirit, He reminds me. He checks me. You see, that's God's grace. Because if the Holy Spirit didn't correct us or check our spirits when we're doing something wrong, when we're living in sin, then we just keep on doing it. Look, it doesn't matter what we're doing. If we continue to sin and sin and sin and sin, what we will lose is that peace from God. I know when you're living in sin and God's trying to check you and trying to get you to stop, that's when you start to lose your peace. You don't have that peace in your life. And then when things go wrong, we tend to blame God. We say, "But God, I'm a Christian. How come you allowed that to happen to me?" Sometimes God allows circumstances to happen to get you to go in the direction that He wants you to go. God spoke to me to speak to a friend of mine. And God got another friend to talk to her as well. And then she got it in black and white, because I'm black, he's white. But she was so stubborn, she wasn't going to budge. She wasn't going to move. And y'all love it when God's grace puts a plan, and because of God's grace, He puts a plan in place. And I love it when His plan comes together. Because when we're so stubborn, like my friend was, she was living out of town, she's an elderly woman, she needed support, couldn't get the support. She has a son that needed help as well, and he had a disability and he needed help. But see, then the person that was living there, God moved him on, got him a place of his own. And then things happened. And all these things happened for a reason. And there's one thing happened after another. Yesterday I went to the real estate and she finally put the place on the market and she's going to move to town where she can get the help she needs. But it took 6 months. But God's grace for her was perfect because it kept her safe when she was living there without any support. It kept her son safe until he had his operation. God's grace is so sufficient for her now that she has a peace in her life and she wants to sell up, she wants to move the town, and she wants to continue to be a carer for her son. That's how God works. And that's all I can put it down to is God's grace being perfect in our lives. Don't deserve God's grace, but God gives it to us because that's God's nature. Just as it is God's nature to love us unconditionally. I try to live and walk my Christian walk in love and love people unconditionally, but you always run into somebody that pushes that unconditional love right to the boundary. You know you gotta love them. You gotta love them unconditionally, no matter what they do. And if you think it's hard, if you think it's really hard for you to do it, and you can't do it, I can tell you that now. You can't love somebody unconditionally as a human being unless you've been loved unconditionally first, and that's by God. God gives us that perfect love and that perfect love that's unconditional. And because he's given it to us, and if we put our trust in him, and with him, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can actually give that love to people unconditionally, because it's not us, it's coming from God. And we can't do it on our own. And that's the whole point about being a Christian, is we need to put our trust and rely on God. Because the moment we tried to do it our way, the moment we tried to do it my way, that's when things start falling apart. You know, I remember I bought this car and I didn't pray about it. And I just wanted this car to look good, it looked really great. It was a Murray mover, it was an 8-seater because I had a big family. And the seats did everything. They went backwards and forwards and, you know, it was just a bee's knees. But I never prayed about it. You've heard the saying, I bought a lemon. Man, that was a lemon of lemons of lemons. Man, I had my hand in my pocket all the time. Always had my hand in my pocket. And I remember saying to God, I said, how come you allowed me to buy that lemon? And God said, I didn't want you to buy it in the first place. If you would have prayed about it and asked me, I would have told you not to buy it. But you see, you went ahead anyway. And even though it was a death trap and everything was always going wrong, my grace kept you from any serious accidents, any serious breakdowns. And especially when you're driving in Sydney, you need God's grace every day, I'm telling you. If you lived in Sydney, and you know what I'm talking about, when you get on that freeway or when you get out there on Parramatta Road or around some of them suburbs, you really need God's grace every time you get in the car. And you know what? God was so good to us. And God's got a perfect plan for your life, whether you're saved, whether you're not saved. Doesn't matter what you believe, God's got a perfect plan for you. And he's just waiting. He stands at the door and he knocks. And he's waiting for you to open the door and let him come in. That moment, the very first moment that you let God into your heart and you pray that sinner's prayer, that grace of God will be so great, you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. I could only imagine how John Newton felt being a slave trader. And he wrote that beautiful song, Amazing Grace. And that's what God's grace is like. It's an amazing grace. And when you sing that song, can you imagine how he felt after trading human beings for a living as slaves, selling human beings? That amazing grace that John Newton felt. I pray that every day that his grace will be for anybody that needs it, no matter where you are and what your situation, whether you're caught up in bondage, whether you're caught up in drugs, whether you're a slave somewhere, whether you're caught up in sexual immorality, whether you're caught up in adultery. Just remember that God's grace is for you.
Oh,
Yes, God's grace is so amazing. I hope you enjoyed the music today, and if you'd like to hear this program again, go online to kingskidsministries.org and click the listen button at the top of the page. Tony would love to hear from you, and you can talk to him directly on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. From all of us here at King's Kids Ministries, God bless and see you next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.